And thank you, Daniel, Phoebe, my wife Phoebe, Chuck and Phoebe Cleveland. We have four children and 10 grandchildren, and we love all of it. She's going to be slipping out in a few minutes to go to the booth, Health Education Resources. We're in the 200 aisle, but we're going to turn our attention to a different topic today on country living, which is part of our lifestyle. We have a ministry, but we also have to have a lifestyle. We have to have a life of our own. And just briefly, I became an Adventist when I was 19, when I was in the Navy, and the Lord called me into the ministry. I thought I was going to go into medicine. Later, he showed me he wanted to be a health evangelist. God had one son, I was told, and he made him a minister. Later, I learned that wasn't true. God had one son, and he made him a medical missionary. Do you understand? It's much broader. So I'm speaking to you as a medical missionary, and I have spent over the last 30-some years in self-supporting ministries, even though I started off in denominational ministry. One isn't better than the other. We're all part of the same team. It's just where God called me. About 5 years ago, we went out on our own from the institutional environment. I was the OCI vice president for our umbrella organization for 70 different projects around the world. But we decided to go out and do our own particular project and give it more attention, Health Education Resources, training churches through camp meetings, how to use the Health Expo as an entering tool. And now we're using it all over the world. I just came back from Israel, and I will tell you Sabbath afternoon in a 7-minute interview a little bit about some of the doors that God is opening there. Our panels just are going to Japan this week, and just country after country are being able to use these. It gives you credibility when you're working with the community. But while all this was going on, we transitioned from 3 years in full-time motorhome living, doing seminars, to finally having our own home. Mama said she needed her feet on the ground again. Most ladies would understand that. And the garden and the flowers and some place for the grandchildren to find us. And although with a motorhome, we were able to spend quite a lot of time with family, that was very nice that way also. I've always believed in country living. Even when I worked for the denomination, I lived in the country. And we raised our children in the country. And in institutional work and self-supporting work, our institutions are in the country. So it's not something new for me, but I've never owned my own house to live in until 2 years ago. And when the ASI called me about 6 months ago and asked me if I would be willing to teach a country living seminar, my first question to them is, how did you happen to choose me? And what made it especially astounding to me was it was the very day that I received a semi-truck that had on the back end of it 18 solar panels, 6 for me, 6 for another neighbor, and 6 for another neighbor. We had ordered it together, and they arrived in the truck. And I said, how did you know I just got solar panels today? And they said, well, we didn't know, but we heard a rumor that you were taking this pretty seriously, and we'd like you to do a seminar on it. So I'm just sharing with you my own personal experiences. I'm not a professional expert at this, but I'm deeply convicted that God wants us to pay attention to the councils for today on country living. And so I'm going to divide my talk up. Oh, this is my own unofficial subtitle, A Poor Man's Approach to Independent Living. Do you know why I say that? You know, we came into self-supporting work actually with a fair amount of capital for a young pastor and 4 kids. We had a new car. People warned us we would never get another car, and this, all these terrible things were going to happen to our family, and I had an education. My children would never have an education if we went into self-supporting work. None of that was true. Our children all have an education, and we don't owe anyone anything. And so, you know, if God leads you to do something, he's committed to do it with you. He doesn't send people out on the limb and then cut it off. Now, I don't mean that we should just do foolish adventures, but when God is truly leading, we have to trust him. So it's a miracle for what I'm going to share with you today, how we've been able to obtain a property and a home and independent living and still be in a supporting ministry as we are today. So my talk is divided into 3 parts. The first part is about 1/4 of my talk or less, Where do we stand today? Just a little bit of background of the urgency of the day in which we live in. But I don't need to spend much time on that. I'm just reminding you. I'm going to spend a very little time on the religious political part. That's not really the topic today, but it's interesting what's going on that drives and probably has resulted in some of you coming here. You're getting worried about what's happening all around us, and you want to be sure you're fitting in the right place. And I'll spend most of the time on part three, practical preparation, and that's what my handout has to do with that I gave you. And I'll try to give you some time for questions and answers a little later on. Where do we stand? We are living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon us.